Welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Michael. Wonderful show for you. Kind of a fun show today, talking about the origins of Hallows Eve, that is Halloween. Father Isaiah, sit down, and we talk about everything from candy and trick-or-treating to dressing up and the power of being able to put on costumes, and even a little bit about our liturgical schedule just for those who are hoping to come to this holy day of obligation. People say, do I have to go to Mass? I say, of course, you're invited to Mass. It's a holy day of invitation. And we have our Masses that are then the vigil of All Saints Day. So the 31st, Halloween, 5:30 Mass. And then the usual Masses at 6 a.m. or 6:30 at 8 and then 5:30 p.m. But an extra Mass at 7:30 p.m. on that November 1st, which is the Friday. And then on the next day, November 2nd, we have All Souls Day and a very special Requiem Mass, and we're going to use all the music from Mozart's beautiful Requiem, and so it's one of my favorite musical arrangements for Requiem Mass. So that'll be at 10:30 a.m., and so you're certainly welcome and invite a friend. There's nothing quite like that celebration all through the year. On the Today Show, we talk about what's the most popular Halloween candy. Also, in terms of some story time with Father Isaiah on his most favorite or memorable Halloween costume. And then a little bit about the power of actually dressing up and the connection we have to our saints. So whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many, many blessings as you enjoy today's show.
Greetings and welcome back to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Isaiah. That's Father Michael. And guess what? This week is pretty packed. I mean, the day that the podcast is dropping is the great feast of St. Simon and Jude. We have All Saints Day on Friday. We have All Souls Day, that beautiful Requiem on Saturday. And what we're going to be talking about today, Halloween on Thursday.
That's right. It's kind of a cornucopia of feasts and celebrations and festivals. And I was just going, we were laughing as we came on, because I asked Father Isaiah, I said, what do you think the top favorite Halloween candy is? Because, you know, Halloween is all about the candy.
It's all about the candy, yeah really, today, nowadays.
So I always like to look if I go to these poll sites, you know, where you go, like people who get polled, and who knows, I guess when it comes to political polls, who knows why people answer what they do and if they're truthful. But I think people are more or less honest about candy, maybe not how much they spend, but just what their favorite is when they're asked. But I was surprised by the result. This is the latest poll, 2019, that just came in. What do you think the number one favorite candy around this time of year is?
Number one favorite. Now, my first instinct would be like Halloween candy for me would be candy corn, right?
Candy corn.
But I know that in some places candy corn is kind of divisive. So so I'm going to guess.
And I'll say it's whatever. I'll tell you how. Not only, I'll give you some hints. So not only is it the favorite, it's double of second place.
So it's a
clear winner. So clear it's 36%.
That's a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
36%.
And then the next is 18%, and then the last one's at 10%. And there's a whole scat around 5 and 6%. But it's so 36%. It's far and away.
It has to be a chocolate of some sort.
It is a chocolate.
It's a chocolate-based product. Okay, 36%. I'm going to guess it's going to be an M&M.
Actually, that was what I would have guessed. I would have guessed an M&M either, just in general peanut. But M&Ms are third.
Third?
11%. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. But you're saying specifically Halloween.
It's a top selling. So basically, it's based on the top selling. Just by the numbers. It's just the numbers thing.
Reese's peanut butter cup?
Yes.
Oh wow!
You got it. Nice. That's pretty good. I wouldn't have guessed that. Number two. That was a good guess.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Reese's peanut butter cups are far and away the most popular.
36%.
And it's funny because if you asked me what mine would be, Reese's would be right. I admire a good Reese's pieces. So there. You know, number two was. Do you know what number two is? You're just so hot. I thought you just
okay. Mentioned. Reese's peanut butter cup
number one. M&M's was third.
Third.
And then I'll just give you, so the fruit ones are in the like four or five.
Yeah,
like Skittles, Starburst,
sure.
Tootsie Pops, even the Hershey bar. But there's a clear number two as well.
It's a clear number two. Yeah. So it's a chocolate product.
It's a chocolate product.
gosh. Not Reese's Pieces, but that because that's peanut butter.
Yeah.
Snickers?
Yes!
Really?
Nice!
Wow!
You're on fire today! You're on fire today!
Woo! Wow!
You're on fire!
So it's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Snickers, and then number three is M&M's.
M&M's, that's very good. So you had three and then one and two. You know your candies.
Wow.
you know, completely... You have very popular taste.
Well, completely unrelated. I do have a teeth cleaning in a week, so...
That's funny. What are you? Is it on Halloween? Are you getting your teeth cleaned on Halloween? That would be
actually.
Hilarious.
I have to look at my calendar. But that would be pretty funny. That would be pretty funny.
No, the way to do it is to have it on. I'll say like just get the day after.
That would be
Halloween.
Hilarious.
You eat candy and then you get your teeth cleaned
and see everyone else that's in the office that day too.
Exactly. That's the purge. It gives new meaning to the purge. you get your first year.
It's like
you eat candy and then you clean up.
It's like the day after New Year's where everybody's at the gym, right?
That's right. Exactly. Oh, yeah, or the day after the wedding when everyone has just a little bit too good of a time.
Yeah, they enjoy themselves a little too much.
Very good. Anyway, so we wanted to talk about, we've done snippets of this before, but just to maybe have it in one place, a little bit of the history of Halloween and especially the Catholic history of Halloween, because there's certainly these days, it does feel, especially in San Francisco, and even when I was in Benicia and Antioch, there was a sense in which this is a kind of a favorite day of people. And I think it's got even more popular as the years have gone on. I remember reading, this goes back maybe 2 years ago, and the number just sticks in my head. It was estimated that on average, people spend about $100 a person on Halloween.
Wow.
Exactly. So that's talking about the United States.
Okay, so that's candy and costumes and parties.
Yeah, the whole and the total spending was just a little under, and get this is going to be hard to fathom.
Okay.
But it's right around 9 billion.
With a B.
With a B.
On Halloween.
Dollars. So we could say, Let's try to, you know, let's have social services or cut into the national debt, or let's have a united for this year. Everyone, we're going to give up Halloween and instead we're going to funnel money towards some project.
Wow.
$9 billion are spent on Halloween.
With a B.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's
and
incredible.
The thing about Halloween, there's nothing, you know, that you see in the usual celebrations that has, you know, it's fun, but it's not particularly edifying and can be very disedifying. We talked recently about St. Michael and the kind of the spiritual warfare, battle. I have to say, when it comes to a Halloween night, I've been involved with folks who have opened themselves up to darkness.
Darker forces,
that day. And later on, experience deleterious effects of that. So they come and they're like, I'm not sure if there's something possessing me or oppressing me. And then they say on Halloween, we got together and did some things that were, you know, not of God.
Yeah.
And it's real. Like darkness is real on that day. In terms of... I mean, just to give examples that are true, animal sacrifice, incantations, witchcraft, a sense of necromancy that is trying to kind of summon dark forces knowledge and things like that. This is not just kind of for fantasy novels or you know, movies. This stuff
this
really
is real
happens.
Life.
It really happens, and it's scary. it's not, and it's scary not because it's kind of a genre of horror. It's scary because it's real, because the devil is real and the dark forces are real.
It's a reality.
So protecting ourselves with same, especially for families, you know, that making sure that any Halloween celebrations, which are not certainly bad and especially directed, and we'll get into the history a little bit, are very good, but just to be exercising prudence in lots of ways. And I remember when we did you trick or treat growing up?
When we lived back east still.
So I feel like In the mid-90s, maybe even a little bit earlier, there was kind of a scare of people giving, like, tainted candy and things like
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So there was a big push to, like, you know, make sure that you knew the people. You know, you kind of have a route of people that you kind of knew and families and friendly
exactly,
kind of things, you know.
Oh, yeah. I have many memories of my mother especially just kind of taking my bag of candy and just inspecting it. From needles, glass, anything that was suspicious. And I was very fortunate. My sister and I were very fortunate. Yeah. But the very fact that we had to think about that and told that I have to go through all your goodies to make sure that you're not going to get poisoned or whatever, it's real.
When you dressed up, was your favorite Halloween costume the little Dominican garb that you put on when you were 8 years old?
Oh, I did tell you about that. Oh, wow. I did tell you about that.
Did you? No.
No. No, of course.
Of course.
But I'm sure you...
Do you have a memory of a favorite Halloween costume?
It wasn't my idea.
Oh, come on.
No, because I didn't even know who this guy was.
Okay. So what
but my mom, I forget, I think it was 7 or 8. Uh-huh. I dressed up as Zorro.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the sword
cool.
and everything. And I had no idea who Zorro was until I saw The Mask of Zorro like 12 years later, starring Antonio Banderas.
So she you killed my father, prepared
to die. Yeah.
No, that's not that
No,
guy.
Wait a minute. That's Princess Bride.
So you had the sword and the mask and all
that? The mask and the black cape and all that stuff. I had no idea who this guy was. And my mom kept on saying Zorro. I'm like, sure.
What did you think it was at the time? Just like a sword guy?
I was 7 years old. I had a sword. I mean, I was just happy to be running around with a sword and nobody telling me to put it away. So.
Oh, man. No, that's good. Yeah, I think is my memories, I don't have memories of dressing up elaborately.
Uh-huh.
I think my usual scheme was if I could put like a hat on,
okay.
I could be like, I don't know. I remember we one year just putting on like a, like my dad's kind of like maybe like a duffel hat or, you know, one of those mm-hmm. kind of like that makes you look like a private eye or something.
Oh, right.
Out.
Yeah.
Like I don't, or maybe just putting on like a football jersey or something very simple.
Oh, okay.
It was all about the candy. I wasn't, I don't remember being really particularly invested.
Yeah.
Except the one year when I put a Franciscan habit on and went out.
Right.
No. Anyway, but one wonderful tradition that I know some Catholic schools have started, and we did this in Benicia, mm-hmm. was that everyone on the proximate day to Halloween
uh-huh.
would dress up as a saint.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And the whole point of, historically, of celebrating Halloween, All Hallows Eve.
All Hallows Eve, yeah.
Was to hallow the hallowed.
Right. As in the saintly.
The saints.
Those yeah,
who,
exactly.
Those who are like... hallowed means holy.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So those holy
yeah.
days. And so when we say the Our Father, we say hallowed be
thy name.
Holy
exactly.
be thy name.
Holy
so,
are, yeah.
So it's the all the evening of the holy ones.
Yeah. Right? Hence where we get the word Halloween, Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah. Hallows
so
Eve.
Yeah. So yeah. All Hallows Eve. All yeah. Hallows Eve. So the all. So in terms of that, I think that was very, you know, instructive because then mm-hmm. it was like, okay, you get to choose, it kind of introduced saints and heroes to, you know, the children growing up.
Exactly.
And that sense of who our heroes would be. It's interesting that when you look at how people name children,
right.
they often do it, you know, for either family members, but more and more almost for celebrities.
Right. right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The other day someone came and they're naming their kid Beyonce.
Right.
And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I wonder who that's for.
I wonder. Yeah. Saint Kanye, pray for us.
Saint Kanye. So. So I was like, okay. So, you know, in terms of having a culture that looks to celebrities as heroes,
right.
you know, it can be difficult to see the celebrities always as acting heroically in that
right.
way. And so we have a whole treasury. One thing about the saints is we have this treasury.
Right.
Of heroes who are real people, so it's mm-hmm. not like they were perfect,
no.
but they give us a
example yeah.
and a witness
exactly
to what real holy life looks like. And sometimes we do ourselves a disservice by making them seem perfect or
right. yeah.
exemplary in every way. It's okay to talk about St. Augustine and his struggles or even St. Monica
yeah.
and her struggle, you know, the different ways in which saints fail, because all saints fail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they don't give up.
I mean, it's like, that's the thing. Like, think about the stained glass windows in St. Dominic's itself. Yeah. I mean, we have it, like, many Catholics or many people just in general just have this tendency of just keeping the saints in the windows, right? Yep. But rather, you know, they breathe the same air we breathe, and they lived, yes, in a different time, but they had very similar struggles that we have today, right?
That's
so
right.
How can we actually emulate them who emulate Christ of how to deal with the struggles of life?
Nice. And the thing about it, too, is to go back to a little bit to the history is, if you just Google history of Halloween, mm-hmm. you'll get all sorts of things about being a pagan rite, going back to pre-Christian festivals and druids and all the rest. But that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
There was a kind of minor festival on October 31st as just being the last day of the month, but that was every month. So there was nothing particular to October.
Yeah, it wasn't special as such.
It wasn't special. It didn't actually kind of take off on the 31st. Until you have November 1st being the Pope Gregory moving it to November 1st,
the
day to remember all those saints that aren't on the calendar, but that we have as heroes. And I think here we can think of family members, or we can think of local...
Our Father Felix's.
Father Felix's and so forth, that we can both pray for, but we can also pray to, and All Saints Day is the appropriate day to remember all those who have gone before us, who we hope now are in the presence of our Lord Jesus. And whenever you have a saint day, especially a big feast day, the day before is also a kind of preparation, the vigil for that, the evening before that. And that's then when we have this sense of Halloween. Now, the origins of Halloween then come from that sense of making preparations for the saint day. So, sadly speaking, nothing to do with candy, nothing to do with, with dressing up, right? That doesn't happen until recently.
Yeah.
And it's very American.
It's in a very American thing.
It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. So all this stuff about pagans and druids, nothing to do with candy, nothing to do with the American experience of it. What's happened, though, and I've noticed this in the last maybe 30 years or so, this appropriation of the darkness to that. They're saying, oh, well, we're going to claim this. So it's kind of like how Christianity began to claim pagan sorts of things, you know, like a pagan temple. What did Christianity do? They basically built a house of God
on top of it
or restructured it or somehow refurbished it in a way that basically repurposed it, gave it a new direction and purpose. I feel like paganism of our day and our culture, which can tend towards a kind of lack of the sense of the spiritual in God, has repurposed All Hallows Eve for its own dark art. So it's not as if the origins of Halloween are pagan. The origins are very Christian. And so my point to folks, when they express concern over Halloween celebrations, I say, don't absent yourself from them, but let's reclaim it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's take back what's ours. This is our patronage. This is our heritage. Yeah. We're the ones who were the origins of this. So claim it. Take it back.
Yeah. So you're saying that Halloween being a Christian holiday as such, it's getting repurposed by those who choose the dark arts.
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility, really, as Christians, to reclaim that what is rightfully ours.
Yeah, like Valentine, another one, Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll do a Valentine's Day history.
Right.
It's, once again, chocolates and flowers and candy and romance and good stuff.
Good stuff.
That's not exactly like the dark arts and the paganism we're talking about now. But the whole point of it was a celebration of marriage, family life around St. Valentine.
Right.
Right? And so now we'd say Valentine's Day. It's St. Valentine. Let's read, or even Saint Valentine. Christmas and Easter, right? We know they've become very secular kinds
bunnies
of
and
holidays,
guys
right?
in red suits, but really.
So there's a whole pride, I could call it, you know, reclaim, Project Reclaim.
Right.
To reclaim these cultural days of festival and holy day. And the word holiday.
Holy day.
Means holy day. Yeah. It's a contraction of holy day.
Yeah.
Holiday. Well, the holidays have become a replacement, you know, in mind of the holy day. So let's reclaim the word. Let's reclaim the sensibility. Let's reclaim it. So hopefully everyone celebrates with a sense of festivity.
Right.
With a sense of connection to those saints in our lives, who we've known, who we've met.
Yeah.
Who, their struggles, but we now hope and pray and have that sense that they might be in the presence of God. They are the saints that hopefully are local, particular, and witnesses to us, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, people we know, you know, people we've come in contact, priests, religious, people we've come into a contact with. This is their day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's our day to celebrate them and to remember them. So someone asked me about the candy. Do you know where the origins of the candy come from?
I was doing some research about it, and I think it originated from Guy Fawkes Day, didn't it? Like, it was a British thing that kind of came to the colonies, right?
Yeah, and exactly. And it's interesting because it's not the proudest moment for Catholic.
No.
Protestant.
Relationships, let's
relationships.
Say.
But it's during a time of great persecution. So at that time, and this is going back to the, well, it's from the period, frankly, back 1500s to the 1700s. Yeah. Catholics had no legal standing in England, right?
It was illegal to say Mass be part of Mass of any way.
Yeah, you couldn't, you weren't necessarily summarily killed, but if you were Catholic, you couldn't hold any kind of public office.
Yeah.
You could be fined, lots of taxes. Basically, there was a heavy bias against any Catholicism. And if you were a priest and you said Mass, then you could be, you could be killed. You could be, martyred. Well, I guess they wouldn't say that way.
They wouldn't say it that way, but yeah.
But basically hundreds of priests were martyred during that time period. And so, of course, there's the Catholic resistance to that and one of the foolish attempts on the King James, Bible, James the First in the Parliament was with trying to blow it up. So the gunpowder plot or rebellion. And it was at this time of year when the guy who got caught just he was part of the plot in that he was just guarding the gunpowder. He was the sentry was a guy named Guy.
Yeah. Guy Fawkes. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
They say, who's going to guard the gunpowder? Huh? That guy.
That guy.
Which guy?
Guy.
So Guy was guarding the guy guarded the gunpowder and Guy got because he was reacting Guy Fawkes.
That again.
Guy got. He was not, I mean, it was a sad story, but
it is a sad story.
He was tried and he was hung, and the plot went nowhere. Yeah. But then Guy Fawkes Day became a celebration in England as a way of burning him in effigy and the kind of this resistance that was put down.
Yeah.
And so what happened was, is then if you knew Catholic households, you would knock on their door and basically tell them to trick or treat.
Yeah.
Right. In other words,
you give us stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Basically
food or beer or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Alcohol or something for the celebration. Basically you and provide for the celebration of.
And we won't burn your house down.
Yeah. We won't do something nasty to you. So that was the more, how would I say, pernicious or kind of hardcore. Basically they're going to celebrate this feast and as a way of kind of anti-Catholic kind of, which certainly, not totally undeserved in terms of the association, basically robbing the Catholics to pay for and to provide for the celebration every year was the origins of Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
And even though when they came to the colonies, there wasn't necessarily that same virulence of anti-Catholicism. No doubt this country was anti-Catholic.
Yeah.
And in many ways.
Yeah. They were British colonies.
Yep.
So,
The Puritans, I think we talked about the Thanksgiving.
The Thanksgiving place,
History. To not be under no illusion, Maryland was formed as a refuge for Catholics.
Yeah.
And so this Guy Fawkes kind of trick or treat continued.
Yeah.
And so the candy part of it is actually. It comes about as a kind of anti-Catholic kind of practice, but then gets tamed down with just kind
we
of...
We won't burn down your house, but still give me candy.
Just give me candy.
I want my Snickers bars, my Reese's Pieces, yes.
Exactly. So, so then it became widespread, not just to Catholics. It lost that sense of...
The religious element and the persecutorial element faded away, but nonetheless, people still came into each other's houses at night asking for treats.
Exactly.
So,
and then the dressing up had to do with...
dressing up like Guy Fawkes, probably.
Or, but not necessarily associated with him. But the next day, if we had an All Saints Day, the idea would then on All Souls Day. Ah, and so this is where the kind of the macabre would come in. So dressing up in terms of
skeletons and
things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it became a sense of connecting with those who had passed away that still needed our prayers. And so you have that kind of, and especially I think the French influence, having masquerade balls and things like that, where you were dressing up for any occasion, but in a special way to remember those loved ones and legacy. It's kind of like, what was that a Disney movie? Coco.
Coco,
have you seen Coco?
Right. I actually haven't.
You haven't? I didn't see it either. I mean, I hadn't seen it until goes back a little time ago. I was on a plane flight, and the person next to me was watching it.
Oh, right.
And so that I was just like, oh, you know, I plugged into the little screen in front of me.
Oh, that's fine.
It's not bad. It has there's, you know, it's not a Catholic film by any stretch, but it definitely has that sense of ancestry and remembering our dead. And certainly for those families that are Catholic, you can make associations with praying for our loved ones.
Yeah.
The idea is that on the Day of the Dead, your family members kind of come back to life or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So then there's a way in which that's the whole purpose, to remember our deceased loved ones, because we believe and have the great hope that they're even more alive than we are, because they are living in the presence or continuing their journey towards that living presence of the source of all reality.
Exactly.
Right? So they're, as Jesus said, God, we're not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know, Abraham is alive.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, so that's kind of the history behind it. So my point always is to lean into the celebration in a fruitful, healthy way, rather than reject it. You know, at such people say, oh, we're not going to do Halloween, we're not going to celebrate. And I said, no, don't not celebrate it,
but celebrate it in a Christian way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And all that way is celebrating the heroes. I have to say it's fun because when the children would dress up in their Saint costume, it's funny because they would like to enact. So like little boys dress up like Saint George
of
or Saint Michael.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got, as you say, they got the swords.
Yeah.
So they want to like battle the dragon. And it's just, it's funny because you have dressing up has the power to kind of make you emotionally and psychologically feel like you're in that place, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, I think it's just a formative thing. So I think the act of dressing up and getting a costume is actually very productive. And even though it's not a costume, here we are in our white habits and wearing the garb we wear. To me, it's a reminder of
who and what we are and supposed to be.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. So that's people say, oh, we're not doing the whole dress. I think, no, dress up. Don't dress up as though, you know, some kind of witch or warlock or something that's like evil or, you know, satanic brings that because what do you do? I mean,
you're inviting that in.
Yeah, you are. Even if you're not quite aware of it, it's humanly speaking, you put yourself in that psychological space. So dress up with something, you know, something edifying.
Right. Yeah.
Edifying costume.
So
Zorro.
Like Zorro. Yeah. Or like, you know, name your athlete, right?
Exactly.
I mean, go ahead and put in your Steph Curry jersey and there
Steph
you are.
Curry, don't bring up the Warriors. It's going to be a tough season.
Okay. So here we are beginning this month of November with Halloween all the way through All Souls to, you know, prepare for the life to come, right?
And, that's right.
And just a reminder that for All Saints Day, the schedule is a 5:30 p.m. Mass on October 31st.
Nice.
And then on All Saints Day, 6:30 a.m., 8:00 a.m., 5:30 p.m., and 7:30 p.m.
That's right. So basically the normal Mass schedule, except for an extra 7:30. And then on the 2nd, which is this coming Saturday, we have our Requiem Mass, the Mozart.
Right.
Which is my favorite for the Requiem Mass, 10:30 a.m. for the Confutatis.
So beautiful.
Yeah, I you know, that's one of my favorites. And so this year we'll have the Dies Irae and all the
glorious,
beautiful music that connects us to the life of those who have gone before us and loving memory of them.
So, dear friends, you know what to do if you want to help out the podcast with liking us and inviting other people to subscribe. And may this just help us out with the podcast.
Yeah, any comments, certainly welcome. And as you're enjoying your Reese's peanut butter pumpkin cups,
or your Snickers, or your M&Ms,
may you radiate the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen?
Amen.